presents Tennis Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask these four seasoned battlers of this game to try and talk for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject if they can. If one of the other three think they are guilty of doing this, they may challenge. And if I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point and take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, whoever is speaking will gain a point and continue with the subject as long as they can. That's the way we score, and that is the way we play the game. And the audience have already started laughing because Kenneth Williams is already doing his tricks. Which is playing to the audience. The subject is, what excites me? So, can you talk on that subject? What excites me? For 60 seconds, Ken, is starting now.
Well, I think that in common with most people, I find extremely exciting the spectacle of semi-nudity as opposed to the complete thing. A small amount exposed really gets me going. The curiosity, which is the insatiable element, I think, in all of us, is tickled, if you like, aroused. And one mentally wonders, what underneath, you see, even the paint.
Clement, boy, you've challenged. Why? What from?
You don't see.
You don't see what?
I didn't say I see. I said you wonder what's going on underneath.
You wonder what's going on underneath.
You see.
Now, very clever. It's a very clever challenge, but you see, when it comes to nudity, if you couldn't see it, or semi-nudity, you would not be able to be excited by it. Therefore, it is obviously not a legitimate challenge, because you've got to see semi-nudity to be able to be excited.
Oh, that's true, yay! Very good,
so, your colloquialism was apt on this occasion, Kenneth. I disagree with the challenge, so you gain a point and you keep the subject. And there are 23 seconds left for what excites me starting now.
Nothing more than the power of oratory. The finest speeches, words chosen with memorable precision and care, strike a reverberating chord in the memory, and one is reawakened, so to speak. Renewed, so to speak.
Clement, what have you done?
Repetition. He so spoke.
He so spoke, yes. And alas, there were only 3 seconds to go, and he would have kept the subject for 60 seconds otherwise, but Clement was the first to get in, and he's so clever at doing that. And you, I agree with your challenge, Clement, so gain the point. 3 seconds left for what excites me starting now.
Kenneth Williams' knees give me.
Kenneth Williams' knees give Clement Freud yet another point.
Oh, how come
because
you ever... I don't know what to say.
I wouldn't say anything, Kenneth. I'd just keep quiet. We often wonder what it was, the big bond between
well,
you.
Well, they
discovered,
nice, you know.
I'm
nice,
not explain to our listeners that Kenneth has now shown his knees to our audience. And from their reaction, they obviously thoroughly approve. Also, I must explain to listeners, if any of them heard a noise in the background of either a police car screaming in the distance, they weren't coming to help Kenneth Williams out. They were obviously on some other errand of mercy or emergency. The score, I must explain to those who may not know, whoever's speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. In this case, it was Clement Freud. The whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up. Andre Melle, your turn to begin. What to look for when buying a dog? That's what your message was thought of for you. And will you talk about it for 60 seconds starting now?
I've written it down, yes.
Wait, I'm sorry. Well, you have to write it down. We'll go back to the beginning.
Very sorry. Yes, right.
Well, you must warn me in future if you're going to write things down.
Very long. Yes.
I think you're just playing for time so you can think about
right,
it. What to look for when buying a dog? Andre Melle, 60 seconds starting now.
The most important thing to look for on this occasion is a dog. You want to find an animal with 4 legs, 2 ears, a nose, a pair of eyes, some teeth. If possible, a young version of the species. And you want to be sure that you know what kind of animal it's going to grow up to when it...
Clement Freud has done.
repetition of animals.
That is right. She did say animal more than once. So, Clement, you get another point. 41 seconds left for what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
It's not at all a bad idea to look at cats, parrots, ferrets.
Derek Nimmo, why do you shout?
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. No. Almost, but not quite, no. So Clement has another point. 36 seconds left. What to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
And other animals, so that when you meet the dog, you are immediately able to say, you are a dog and I'm going to buy you.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Twice. Tom Khan. I'm sorry. It was a great mistake.
Why?
Well, I was challenging wrongly on dog.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Well, there we are. Yes, you're being too keen. All that happens is Clement has another point, and there are 29 seconds left for what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
Perusing carefully will show you the gender of the beast in question. Turning it upside down.
Okay, Mr. Williams.
I have come here to listen to a lecture. But you stand there to see me. You can listen to the three people today. So this is nice.
I kind of agree, Dave. I don't think it's necessary what to look for when buying a dog.
Not necessary. The dog is... We all know. The dog is a dog. He's saying about... Dog
no, Kenneth, let me say. If it was a bitch...
Oh, yes.
It's what you're when you're looking for. Buying a dog.
Well, if it was a Yorkshire Terrier, it wouldn't be anything anyway, would it?
What to look for when buying a dog.
You wouldn't establish the gender, you say.
No, that's right. No, there we are. You've got to establish the gender. In other words, you might get a bitch. That's what you're going to say. Well, all right. I will still score no points because I think it was a debatable point. But I leave the subject with Clement Freud, who has 18 seconds to continue with what to look for when buying a dog, starting now.
Bright of eye, wet of nose, and savage of tooth is really what the ideal dog should be. He growls at strangers and licks friends. He mouths, barks.
Well, Clement Freud just managed to keep going until the whistle went, so he gains that extra point for speaking on the whistle, and as the challenges were debatable, he got no points for the challenges. I want to make that quite clear, but he still has a commanding lead at the end of that round. And he continues talking because it's your turn, Clement. The subject is pulling a cork. Can you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
That's absolutely disgusting, how do you talk about it? You grip it in your hand, and you establish whether it's a hen or a cock, and then suck it carefully.
Well, Derek Nimmo, you've challenged. Why?
He's not talking about pulling a cork. He's about pulling a cock.
And that is what I said, pulling a cork.
You could have fooled me, is all I can say.
All right. But Clement Freud, you did not fool us. So I'm going to give it to Derek Nimmo.
We'll have to start all over again. Derek Nimmo has rescued it. No, but old lady's in the Falkland Islands. There'll be a lot of knitting stitches dropped out.
I refuse to believe that my diction is so bad. Derek Nimmo is going to take over the subject. There are 48 seconds left for pulling a cork. Starting now.
When you go fishing, it's very advisable to throw a cork into the water so you can see whereabouts the line is following your boat. Now, if you do not do this, the string goes right down and you don't see it again. Sometimes, of course, you can pull one out of a bottle. And my great-grandmother bequeathed onto me the most splendid corkscrew. It was worked on a trellis device and patented, I might say, in the last century. It fits snugly on top of the bottle and with a great switch, out it comes, and perhaps with a as well. That makes it particularly nice when you drink your wine, which could be Muscadet or perhaps
Andre Melly, you challenge.
I hesitate.
Yes, you were searching for another wine, and it's very difficult when you're having to keep going. So, Andre, I agree with your challenge. You take over the subject of pulling a cork, and there are 13 seconds left, starting now.
There are a great deal of new scientific ways of doing this these days. Some of them are to do with air.
Derek, no, why is your challenge?
That's not pulling a cork.
No,
that's air pressure which goes in.
Yes, this is not pulling a cork. You see, pulling a cork. No, it's the pressure behind that shoots the cork up. You see, you were deviating, and Derek gets the subject back, and there are 6 seconds left for pulling a cork, starting.
I tied a piece of string on the end of the cork, and I walked around for thousands of
miles. Andrew, why do you try
string?
String, yes.
Absolutely right. Jolly good. Well, listen, Ken.
Kerry, she was getting the subject and the point, and there are 4.5 seconds left for pulling a cork starting now.
Well, it's always best to leave this sort of thing to waiters. They do it far better than I do it, and I always do.
Kenneth, will you begin the next round? Patriotism. Will you talk to us about patriotism for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, that great woman, Eve Cavell, said it is not enough. She said there must be no hatred in my heart for anyone. And I think it's very, very beautiful. On the other
hand... Derek Nimmer, why have you chanted?
Repetition of very, very.
No, it was not a repetition of very, very. It was a repetition of very.
Very, very beautiful. Oh, well, I mean, very, very,
very. Yes, well, all right, but it was a bit of a tough one, because after all, he was quoting, and he was giving a very fine example of patriotism,
right.
So I will charge no points, leave the subject with Kenneth Williams. 50 seconds left, patriotism, Kenneth, starting now.
Dr. Johnson said it was the last refuge of a scoundrel.
And, of course, there is something to be said to this point of view. It has been used or abused by many people in the world. I have no time for it myself. I think much the same thing applies to any piece of land. You can't say this is peculiar because of so-and-so and so.
Rather a lot of...
Yes, that time definitely repetition. Yes. But he definitely gained the point that time, and there are 19 seconds left for patriotism, Derek, starting
I'm
now.
Deeply ashamed of Kenneth Williams' view on patriotism. Red, white, and blue, what does it mean to you? Glory or proud? Shout it aloud.
Let it be known. Deviation, he's doing a song now.
He is doing a very patriotic song, though he is still on the subject of patriotism. That's why I disagree with the challenge.
Oh, well, in that case, we could all start quoting reams of songs.
You were quoting someone.
Oh, Dr. Johnson, he just
Ah, that's different with me, because I do it beautiful.
Others would do it beautifully, but you do it beautiful. Anyway, Derek has a point, and there are 8.5 seconds left, Derek, for patriotism starting now.
Down I gave the devil with my Union Jack, and I stand on the cliff. What hell, I say? I'm an Englishman, I'm proud of it. Come on, you...
Why are you walking along like that, Nick, and sticking it behind
you? It's one of those moments when we wish this was television and not radio, because Derek Nimmer was giving an impersonation of Kenneth Williams arriving at the beginning of the show. Walking.
Great, but you shouldn't mock impediment.
You've mocked his impediment before now, his stutter.
Oh, I thought it was a pediment. I'm sorry.
No, that's on his foot. Right, the subject is Derek Nimmer to start. Yeah. Clock chime. All right, Derek. 60 seconds on that subject, if you can, starting now.
I want you, a man who sat outside a big building to listen to the chime. Not please.
So much challenge.
You missed okay. He's already said it's quite enough. Go on.
Yeah, but it is. No, if he challenges, if he can't justify his challenge,
who
well, somebody pressed the button. But no light came on, I'm afraid.
Now,
lock the doors.
Nobody leaves the house.
I'm going to put you all on your honor. You've all been very honorable up now. Who pressed the button? There we are. So, it was an incorrect challenge. So, Derek Nimmer gets another point.
You're very buoyant tonight, aren't you?
I'm all revved up. I got clock time up. So, there are 51 seconds left for you, Derek, on clock chime starting now.
I must say, I love the sound of a jolly old clock chime, don't you? Ding, dang, dong, dong. Ding, bang, bong, bang. More enjoyable noise.
Clever for a challenger.
Really?
What?
More.
That is quite correct. Yes, I want to hear. You might have said ding or bang.
You said
or
more and more.
Having got clever round to dings, dongs, and bungs, and bangs, and all that, then the first time they said more and more, and Clement responded, I agree with your challenge, Clement, you get another point. 41 seconds left, the clock chime starting now.
One of the most famous stops is called Big Ben, and it chimes on the hour at...
Derek, never why do you chime?
Well, the clock is not called Big Ben.
That is perfectly correct. It's Big Ben. Well done, Derek. So that was deviation.
Well, what is it then that's called Big Ben?
The bell.
Well, the bell belongs to the clock, so when he says Big Ben.
said the clock chimed, Big Ben chimed,
and
the bell.
What
else
is it?
What
do you say
this
famous clock is called?
Yeah, well, if the clock is called Big Ben, it's the clock that does do the chiming, isn't it?
No.
Well, it's still right.
What is it?
The clock is the thing.
Sure, well, all right, we're going to start arguing. Let the audience judge, you haven't judged yet. Do you agree with Eric Nimmer's challenge? If you do, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boom? Will you all do it together now? There's no doubt about it. Derek never has a point. And there are
34
seconds left for clock time.
Derek,
starting now.
Tom Jim made some of the finest clocks in this country. All of them have the most wonderful chimes that have been in them. Some can be seen in the Victoria and Albert Museum. If you go into their long gallery on the second floor, there you will see a wonderful burr walnut case clock, which is absolutely magnificent. One of the finest examples of craftsmanship, I think, in this country. Oranges and lemons, said the bells of King Clement.
And that is the prettiest of all. Yes, William, why did you tell him?
Why, he is busy. The bells can
clang. You have deviation, because oranges and lemons are like bells. But please send Clement. Yes.
Well, you anyway, started when you speak.
Well, all right. It was also hesitation, I think. Yes, I quite agree. Yes, I quite agree. So, Kenneth, you have a point. You have 8 seconds left for clock time starting now.
Not that I really want them. I regard them as the most dreadful sounds ever to come upon my ear. They don't float or it like the sea.
Well, Kenneth Williams was speaking then when the whistle went, and he's now jumped into third place. And, Clement, Kenneth Williams is in third place, Andre's just behind him, fourth. And, Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin again. The subject is the invention I most approve. Can you talk about that invention for 60 seconds, starting now?
The invention of which I most approve is the wheel. And a very fascinating invention it was, because, first of all, they thought, let's make it a triangle. And they rolled this down a hill and found...
Can't you find yourself?
Deviate? It's impossible to roll a triangle.
Now, you can only roll something that is round. You can make it turn from point to point, but that is not rolling.
How they got the wheel.
It's how they got the wheel, but they didn't roll a triangle. They moved the triangle from point to point. I decide that rolling is not a thing you can do with a triangle, so it must be a smooth surface to roll. Therefore, Kenneth has a point. He takes over the subject. It's 47 and a half seconds left, starting now. The subject, by the way, the invention I most approve, starting now.
Well, of course, there's no question about it. It is Kenneth Williams. Has delighted thousands of people who would, without it, have been totally bereft. People say to me, without you, where would my night be? Where would my evening totally empty?
Clement,
fill the spaces.
Clement Freud challenge, we're just loving
it. Two people.
Yes, we do.
And without
two people, people have...
Oh, yes, because I'm not an invention. I'm a natural product.
I know, but... How
any of them did it all go on?
I'll tell you exactly why they let it go on.
Why?
Because you made such a point about your fascination. They really felt they should give you a chance to go.
Yes. I let it go because his mum's sitting in the front row and not.
If this was television, the producer now whipped the camera onto her at this particular moment so that she was totally embarrassed about what her son was saying at this moment. Anyway, the subject is the invention I most approve. It's that with Clement Freud who'll get another point, and then the 33 seconds left starting now.
So then they tried with a square, pushing it along an incline, and not very fast, it didn't move downward. So...
why did you try it? Not quite. He was coming towards that moment of hesitation, but didn't quite achieve it. So, Clement has another point. There are 23 seconds for the invention I most approve, starting now.
They trimmed off the edges, put on a hubcap, invented spokes, and there was the wheel, rolled...
Derek Nimmer's challenge, why?
That is an invention.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you've had invented more than one. Derek, you have a point. You take over the subject. The invention I most approve, 17 seconds left, starting now.
The invention of which I most approve is the single yellow line. I find it absolutely fascinating when I go out of my house in the morning, and there I see a great, long,
slip of yellow net.
You couldn't get away from me, could you? Clement, do tell us, sir.
Yellow.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. So, you said yellow more than once, Derek. Clement, you get another point. 3 seconds left for the invention I most approve starting now.
The circle came later.
At the end of that round, Clement Freud again increased his lead over Derek Nimmo, who increased his lead a little over Kenneth Williams, and Kenneth increased it a little over Andre Melle. In that order, they are still at the end of that round. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin again. I paused because I wasn't quite sure what it's in a thought of you. It is the snark. Can you talk about the snark for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I believe this is an imaginary animal that occurs in the title The Hunting of the Snark, and I understand it was written by someone called Dodgson or Lewis Carroll, as he was styled, for the purpose of authorship, and this whole thing had its beginning in the idea of diverting the young. It certainly never succeeded with me. I infinitely prefer Gibbon nor John Motley to this muck. But I believe that many people it has achieved a kind of popularity. The explanation.
Derek Nimmo, why do you count?
Never seen it.
Yes, yes. He's very much alive. And Derek has another point. And there are 23 seconds left for the start.
But all it's passes, I think, to think of Mr. Dodson in his Oxford College, leaning out of the window, looking at little girls going across the grass, and all the time thinking of his snark.
Now, Derek, no, Kevin Foy sounds, why?
Serious.
Why?
Certainly, serious.
There were no little girls in Oxford colleges.
That's when he thought. He could well have seen one out of term time. You were allowed to take visitors into the college.
That's where he thought, where he met Alice, you think.
I don't think he saw a snark. He might have seen
it. You mean Alice grabbed it again, Alice?
No, you can't justify it, Clement. Derek Nimmo has a point, and there are 15 seconds left for him to continue with the snark, Derek, starting now.
I bought a new boat last week, and I'm going to call it the snark. I think it's an awfully appropriate name for a catamaran, don't you? Because a catamaran...
Audrey Nelly got in that time.
Repetition
catamaran. That is right, and there are 8 seconds left for the snark, Andre, starting now.
This term which tells you how to hunt a snark.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
It's not a poem.
What is it then?
Prose.
Poetry.
Oh, well, I've never read it. I always understood it was prose.
No, it's definitely prose. It rhymes, you know, with a tum tum very much.
Oh, well, that's not poetry either, then. That dog really wasn't poetry.
Well, they do try hard, don't they?
No, it's certainly not poetry. It's doggerel. Doggerel, unquestionably.
Some people think it's great fun and very good poetry. And Andre Melle has a point, and she can't
even laugh. It's not even listening to this man. Rough, so rough.
Kenneth Williams, you cannot get round me. Andre Melle has a point. There are 5 seconds left for the snark, Andre, starting now.
It's difficult to understand, because in a way it is a form of rubbish writing. And when you want to...
I'm afraid that is all we have time for. I see that it is time to call a halt this particular edition of Just a Minute. So let me give you the final score. Reading backwards, as I like to do, but I find it very difficult, Andre Melle and Kenneth Williams were equal in third place. They were a little way behind Derek Nimmo, who was in second place, who was behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
Of Just a Minute with Nicholas Parks. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.